Let your joy resound in our heart, Lord. Let your joy be with us. Father, we just thank you for the opportunity to participate in this offering. We thank you for the opportunity to give unto you, Lord, because you so richly have blessed us, Father. And so, Lord, we richly bless you. We bless your kingdom, Lord. We bless those, Father, who this money goes out to, Father. We bless everywhere that it goes. We bless everywhere that it came from. And we thank you, Father, for that testimony of Jesus being seen, Father, in this offering. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. If you would go with me to Hebrews 10, we'll just start in that. I don't know exactly where we're going to go with all this, but I do know there's a spirit of Justin that's already starting to So I do know that God has something that he wants to convey this morning. I do know that he has a heart for you, and then he has a desire to draw you closer and a desire to put an end to the things that have given, that we have allowed to put distance between us and him. See, sometimes that thing that is the putting the distance between you and him is the old tapes that are playing. Well, I didn't know necessarily I was going to go there, but hallelujah. Because sometimes those old tapes are the things that, you know, the things that have happened. The things where you're hurt, the things where you're disappointed, the things where you're angry, the things that well up with you every time that something just kind of bumps up against you a little bit and it begins to irritate, all of a sudden these things come out. See, that's from the old tape that keeps playing. That old sad tape. Sad tape. Sad, sad tape. God has a place that he wants to deliver us into, something he wants to bring us into, a freedom from all of that, a freedom from that, and a freedom from the things that have caught, that we have allowed to take the place of his anointing in our life. See, I can tell you, the only thing I can tell you about this thing that's been happening with me this morning is simply that I can feel him touching down into the very roots. Because see, there's an area in me that was filled with anger, and he has taken all the anger, but I can feel him now reaching into the roots of that. I mean, literally this morning when I woke up, it was like he was yanking at my feet. Yanking, and I could feel stuff down, yanking in my belly, yanking in my feet. I was like, he's pulling out the root here, and I don't even know what all is going on, but I can feel it being pulled out. Because see, even if the residue is unnecessary, because the residue may be keeping me from that next step in him, and I don't want any residue of something that was old to be left in there. I want it all gone. I can't allow the residue of that anger. But see, sometimes I use that anger to justify the things that I did. I use that anger to justify why I could be the way I was and why I didn't have to change, because it was justified by what happened. But it's not necessary. Thank you, Caesar. Come on. Come on. You know, there are certain things when you experience it, certain things that it will just, it twists the way you understand the rest of the world. It's a distortion. And those distortions got to go. Because if the distortion ain't God, does not have a place in you anymore. I mean, there's some things that I can remember, and I don't know why to share this at this second, but I can remember being with my dad, and it was almost an insanity, because I was probably 11 or 12. We were going to work, and as we were going to work, he backs out of the drive, and something makes him mad, and so what he does is he slams the thing back into forward, and he goes and he slams it up into a tree, and he backs back up. And then he slams it back into the tree, and he backs back up, and he slams it back into the tree. And I knew not to say anything, because I would be the one who was getting slammed into the tree if I said something. But see, those things, they twist. Those things, I took all those things and what I did, instead of dealing with it, instead of taking it to God, which was, I didn't know anything about doing that. But instead of taking it to God, I just stuffed it down. I just stuffed it down. I stuffed it down with all the fear that goes with it. I stuffed it down with all the insecurity that went with it, all the lack of safety that went with it. And when I stuffed all that down, then all those things that happened to come out and spread out and explode on other people later. Those other people had nothing to do with those incidents. They had nothing to do with the abuse that I had seen and experienced. They had nothing to do with it. But those other people got the result of it. See, those are the residues that got to come out. I no longer have to walk in that rage. I no longer have to walk in that anger. But the residue doesn't need to be there. I don't need to have that anticipation when something else happens up. God is wanting us to walk with a clear conscience. He's wanting to walk with a freedom from an evil conscience. He's wanting us to stand in the fullness of His love at all times and in all seasons. Because when we understand the fullness of His love, when we see the fullness of His love, Paco, then we can begin to inhabit that fullness. And we can allow that fullness to inhabit us. We can allow His Holy Spirit to just come upon us in a brand new outlet. And in our new power and authority, I am looking for the fire that He has, the Holy Spirit that He has, to get expressed in this now generation. Because there's a place right now that needs, there's a place in this world that needs the fire of God. It needs to see the operation of the Holy Ghost. And if it takes getting rid of a little residue for that to happen, I'm all for it. There's a fire that He wants to release. There's a fire that He wants to release. Because that fire is what is going to remove the residue, but also calls us to step up into what He's already given. And it comes from a place of surrender. It comes from allowing an atmosphere of surrender for our life. Because if we'll surrender, then we can step into what He's already called us to. The ascension is through submission. This is something I shared Wednesday night, but it actually happened last Sunday in second service. Last Sunday in second service, there was a, after Tina had been talking about that stepping into, basically stepping out of brokenness and into chosenness. That's a word. Chosenness now is a word. Chosenness. But it's stepping out of broken and into the chosen. But see, sometimes that just takes a decision to submit to what He's already called you to. It takes a decision to submit to what He's already indicated in His heart. And what He was telling me last week during the worship time was just to move over here to the altar. And what He actually said was to go to the top of the altar and kneel. Right? Like this. But see, like I told you, like I admitted to the people Wednesday night, that was not what I did. I got over here and I knelt on the first step because I didn't want to make a spectacle. I didn't want to make a spectacle. But see, what I didn't understand was He was using this moment. It was a moment to begin to make a prophetic statement for me to step into what He had already called me to, what He had already decided. He had already decided it. He's simply looking for me to submit myself to it. When we don't respond in the way that He's asked us to, then that's a lack of submission, which actually is nothing more than disobedience. Hello. So after a moment, I crept up to the next step. And that's when I realized, oh, this is a prophetic act. And I got all the way to the top step where He wanted me in the first place. Because, see, He was calling me. But what He was making known to me, the ascension is through submission. The ascension is through submission. The ascension into Him is through submission. So sometimes that submission looks a little different. Sometimes that submission means we're letting some roots get out. Sometimes that submission looks like we're allowing, like Justin testified, we're going back to something that we used to do because we didn't perfect it in that moment. So we're going to come and receive the perfection of it. Because, see, sometimes we know to do something, and we even do it to a degree, but we don't do it to the fullness. But, see, sometimes it takes us to do it to the fullness to receive the fullness that it has in it. Because every command of the Lord carries with it the ability to complete it. Every command of the Lord carries with it the power that comes from it. See, the goal of every instruction from the Lord, every commandment of the Lord is love. And when we receive it that way, then we can begin to enact and come into alignment with it. If I know and if I have a full assurance in my heart that everything he asks me to do is just simply an expression of his love, why would I choose to do anything else? I didn't want to make a spectacle. But see, that was actually an act that was less than love. Because, see, if he's wanting to express his love to me and through me, then I have to come into alignment with what his love is and what his love is expecting me to do. I don't know if it's hot in here for the rest of you, but it's really hot for me. But when I stepped up and began to just come into alignment with what he instructed, now, even though it's a place of ascension, I wasn't putting myself first or I wasn't putting myself over anybody else. I was simply coming into alignment with what he instructed. See, we got to get some of those old-fashioned thoughts out of our head that we're trying to exalt or what. No, that's not the point. The point is if God is showing it to you, let's do it. Because if we do it, the result's going to be love. If we follow it, the fulfillment is love. I can't fulfill my destiny unless I come into alignment with him. And when I come into my destiny, there's going to be love that happens because why? He looks like love and I'm going to look like him. We serve a Father who is love. We serve a Father who is light. So he's going to shine his light into everything and it's great. It's awesome for him to shine his light into our heart because as he shines his light into our heart, it exposes anything that needs to be dealt with, but it also begins to illuminate the gold within. Hallelujah. Hebrews 10 and 19, since therefore, brethren, we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he inaugurated for us through the veil that is his flesh. And since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with sincere heart. Our true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. Let's consider how to stimulate to one another to love and good deeds, to create an atmosphere of love around us, to walk in the atmosphere of love, to express love in a way that allows others to step into this love, to express him and allow this thing that's within him to come and be in charge, to come and be in control. Come into its fullness. Because when we do that, there's a transformation that's going to happen by his Spirit. Jesus. You know, we saw how Jesus interacted with Peter to release a new commission in Peter's life. We saw how he began to release him and separate him from this evil conscience that was going on in Peter, where Peter was more aware of the issue in his life, more aware of how he had let Jesus down than he was of the power of Jesus for his life. And he separated him from that thought and commissioned him to go and feed his sheep. He commissioned him to go and feed his and tend to the lambs. He commissioned him to walk in love. Why? Because love is the fulfillment of the law. The whole purpose of the law was to bring you to a place of knowing love. If we're going to know Jesus, we're going to know love. So the whole purpose of the law was to release you into love. And so as that was happening, we saw how Peter interacted and how the Lord just began to just remind him of what was truly in his heart, remind him of what was truly there to be pulled up and out of him. I also want to just tell you that the same thing happened with Paul. And see, Paul actually documented some of the steps for us because, see, there were some things that were released in Paul's life because we know Paul started out life as Saul. And he started out persecuting the church and actually causing people to be put to death, causing people to be put in chains, causing people to do things that were not, that were totally detrimental to the kingdom. And he caused this man who was just about as much as a sinner as you could find, even though he was well-intentioned, he still was doing things that were totally against the will of the kingdom. He thought he was doing the right thing. But he was pursuing a different agenda. So let's go to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy 1. You only have to back up a couple chapters. Normally, I have all that sort of thing kind of ready. This morning, nothing kind of went the way I was expecting. So, when you're just shaking and baking for a couple of hours, why, it doesn't really leave you much time to do anything else. Hallelujah. Let's start in verse 3. As I urged you upon my departure from Macedonia, remain on in Ephesus in order that you may instruct certain men not to teach strange doctrine, nor pay attention to myths and endless genealogies which give rise to mere speculation rather than furthering the administration of God, which is by faith. But the goal of our instruction is love. From a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. See, what he's talking about here is that there were men who are part of the congregation who were basically trying to stir up people with discussions about the law, discussions about genealogies and things that were totally irrelevant to the actual love of God. Things that were totally irrelevant, but what it was doing was causing people to look into things and spend time, things get distracted from the very cause that they were supposed to be upon. There's a joke, and it goes like this. There was a young rabbi who, things were happening in his little, I don't know if you call it a congregation, but within his little synagogue. And in that synagogue, and so he went to the older rabbi who was over him, and he said, Father, there's much discussion in our group, and I need to know what is the right way. He said, some say that the women should only sit on the right of the sanctuary. And the father goes, That's not the tradition. It's not the tradition. He said, and some say that they can only sit in the back of the sanctuary. And he said, that's not the tradition. And he said, there's much fighting and confusion. He said, that is the tradition. But see, this is the nature of what man wants to do with the word. And we want to get caught up in those things rather than exploring what the actual Spirit of God is, rather than knowing and understanding the heart of God, rather than knowing and understanding the love that He has for us, rather than standing in the fullness of that love, we want to just have those endless discussions about things that have no real value. And so all those things that are of no value, all that stuff is really just nothing more than just religion. And see, when we're being free of an evil conscience, we're being free of that religion. We're being free of that religion. Back in, I'll just turn there real quick and you can look it up later. But see here, back in Hebrews 9:14 says, how much were the blood of Christ, who through eternal spirit offered himself without blemish to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works. Those dead works mean formalism, lifeless observances. In other words, that's what, when we allow the blood of Christ to cover us, when we allow the blood of Christ to cleanse our heart, when we're allowing that process to happen, then there's a releasing, there's a cutting away of everything that is just religion. There's a cutting away of everything that's just formalism. There's a cutting away of those things that don't actually mean anything in the word anyway. Then there's just, when that happens, now there's an opportunity for love to come forth. Remember last year we talked about making room. Well, I'm here to tell you, the Lord is still making room. He's still making room. And sometimes, you know, and basically sometimes there's a place where we can participate in making room. And sometimes there's places where He just wants to make room for you. There's places where He wants to make room for you. But you know what? Sometimes when it's time for you to come up, He's already making room. Have you ever walked into a movie? I love the movie theater now over here at the 24 where, I mean, you got this little that lounge and this, the recliner that lays back. And yeah, it's just, I mean, it's, you can get as comfy as you want. And you have an assigned seat. And you know, if you come in there and there's somebody sitting in your assigned seat, they got to go. You know, there's sometimes that the enemy will come and he'll occupy your seat and you get the privilege of telling him it's time to go. Sometimes the enemy is occupying your seat simply because somebody needed to occupy your seat until it was time for you to come up. Until it's time for you to come up and step up into what he's called you. Because until you're prepared, somebody else might have been coming in there that wouldn't get out of your seat. But he's already positioned the enemy to know he's got to get out of your seat when you exert your authority. What did he do? What did he tell the children of Israel when they're coming into the promised land? He said, there are places, there are lands here that you can have. They all belong to you. But right now, the enemy's occupying that space. He said, but I'm not going to run them all off because then the animals and the beasts would come and tear and rend the land. He said, so I will displace them as you're ready to step in. As you mature, then you can come and step into your rightful place. As you mature, you can step into your rightful seat. The one that Christ paid for, because you didn't pay for it, he paid for it. You can step into that. Know that he's already prepared your way. He's prepared your way. He's making room for you in that situation. He's the one who's making room for you. When this fire, this thing that's happening within me this morning, he's making room. Whatever it takes, he wants to make room. He wants to cause all the enemy is going to have to run when you know how to exert your authority. When you're ready, your authority will take it and cause and declare where your place is. You don't even always have to say nothing. When you walk in the theater, all you got to look there and you just look for the little attendant and you go. And now that guy knows he's got to go. Sometimes we even get to take somebody else's seat because they weren't there, because they didn't occupy it, because they didn't step into it, because they had the call, they had the anointing, but they didn't have the submission. They wouldn't take it. I remember the time, and I think it was like in 1994 when the Timberwolves were just getting started, and I went up there, and I was in that arena, and they were playing the Rockets, and Akeem was part of the Rockets then, and it was awesome, but I walk into this arena. I paid $5 for a cheap seat. And I look around, and there's nothing but empty rows between me and the first row. So I walk myself down, and I set myself right underneath the basket, literally underneath the basket. When Keem came driving up there, his sweat got all on me, and I was like, "I'm not even going to bother to voice anymore." No, I did eventually. Why? Because I thought he was the greatest basketball player ever. But you know what? It was a joy. Why? Because I got to take somebody else's seat. And they weren't even there to tell me I couldn't. Somebody belonged in that seat. Somebody paid good money for that seat. And I got to inherit it freely. God has assigned a seat for you. No one can take your seat, but you can sometimes, if you position yourself with God, you can take somebody else's seat because they didn't get up and get it. Because they didn't know their authority to stand in it. He's assigning us an authority. He wants us to understand that we have an authority to come into Him at any point in time, that we have an authority that He's released. Why? Because the blood of Jesus is upon us. The blood of Jesus has cleansed our heart, and we no longer have to have an evil conscience about anything. That doesn't mean that we're perfect. That doesn't mean that we're perfect. I wish I could tell you I was perfect. Let me tell you a secret. You can't get out of this room, okay? You can't tell anybody. I'm not always right. You don't know how hard that was to say. We don't have to be perfect. I'm just right like 99% of the time. But I'm not always right. Hallelujah. I don't know why I went there, but that was just too fun. The golden instruction is love. Why? From a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. A clear conscience from a good conscience. Because that good conscience is necessary. Because, see, you're not going to walk in the fullness of faith without it. Because I remember a lady, and she was precious. She was precious as the day was long. And she was an amazing person in so many ways. But every time there was an altar call, that lady was up there repenting for the same thing over and over and over and over and over. Every week, I could count on the fact that she would be back at the altar repenting for those same things. Because she couldn't have a good conscience. She couldn't receive the grace of God into her life. God didn't call us to live like that. He didn't call us to live in the filth of our past. He didn't call us to continually grovel to the enemy because of something that we did. He called us to rise up and take a seat with Him. He calls us to rise up and inherit what He's already given us, which is a place of freedom. See, Paul's aware. Paul's aware of this. Let's jump down to verse 12. I thank God for Christ Jesus our Lord, who has strengthened me because He considered me faithful, putting me into service. Even though I was formerly a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent aggressor. See, that's what happens when you have freedom from an evil conscience. You can recall the things that you have done, but you don't live in the things that you have done. You don't live under the things that you have done. You are free from those things. He wasn't denying that any of that happened. He used it as a testimony to bring greater glory to God. A big thanks goes out here to Les, because when I shared about this one of the days he came up, well, are you going to talk about 1 Timothy? Are you going to talk about 1 Timothy? And I was like, well, I hadn't even looked at 1 Timothy. So I said, well, let me look. And I went and looked, and I was like, wow, this is like everything's laid out. Because, see, I'd already been sharing about the goal of the instruction is love in that very same teaching, but I did that from memory. I never read the rest of the sentence that it also comes from a good conscience. At least I hadn't read it in a while. So he's aware of what he's done. He's aware of the lack of perfection in his life. He's aware that all those things, and yet he's still looking. Let me look here. Let me do this. Hold your place here. Flip over to Acts 23. This is towards the end of his life. 23 verse 1. And Paul, looking intently at the council, said, brethren, I have lived my life with a perfectly good conscience before God up to this day. Up to this day. A perfectly good conscience to God. Now, I want you to flip back to Acts 15. See if I can find it. Oh, verse 39. Oh, okay. And verse 37. And Barnabas was desirous of taking John, called Mark, along with him also. But Paul kept insisting that they should not take him who had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not gone with him to the work. See, they had some history. The history wasn't good. And there arose such a sharp disagreement that they separated from one another, and Barnabas took Mark with him and sailed away. Paul chose Silas and departed, committed to the brethren to the grace of the Lord. That was Acts 15. Acts 15, they had such a sharp disagreement that they split. Acts 23, he says, I've had a good conscience to God all this time. Did he live his life in perfection? No. Is that good news for you? Yes. That's good news for me. The issue with having a good conscience before God is not our perfection in the natural. It's understanding what Christ did for us. It's understanding the grace He has for us. It's understanding and being more aware of who Christ is in our life than we are of the sin issue, or we are of the disappointment, or we are of our past, or we are of whatever else might be distracting us from coming to Him. When we become more aware of Christ in us, to us, and for us, those are the things that we are to be aware of. You know, the lily, its whole function is to look continually to the sun. When we consider the lily, what we're looking to do is to continually focus ourselves. No matter where the sun is, that's where we're looking. No matter where the sun goes, we're looking. And in the process, we don't have to be concerned about standing the tallest. We don't have to be the concerned about being the most beautiful. We don't have to be the concerned about what the grass might be trying to cast onto us while we're standing there. What we're just looking, we're just looking and focusing on the sun. And as we look and focus on the sun, all the beauty, all the radiance, all the light that's in Him is in us. It's clothing us. It's clothing us. Just feel, just receive that. His beauty, His light is clothing you. It's clothing you. See, when your understanding is about that, now that understanding becomes that when He clothes you like that, you'll naturally stand up tall. You'll naturally stand up straight. You'll naturally be radiant with beauty. Because it's Him through you being released. You have a good conscience. I may have had an argument with Barnabas yesterday. I may have had a separation with John Mark. But you know what? By the end of his life, he was calling for John Mark because God had dealt with that. he called for John Mark to come to him. Why? Because he learned how to receive John Mark. He learned how to let God work in John Mark. Because that was Barnabas's call, was to take those who were kind of outliers and basically call them into the kingdom and cause them to come up. He was the encourager. The son of encouragement was actually his nickname. So when Barnabas got a hold of John Mark for a while, guess what? He wrote the book of Mark. Barnabas encouraged and brought him up. Paul was able to recognize the shift in him and also recognize the shift in himself. But having a good conscience is not a product of us living everything perfectly. Having a good conscience is a product of us living with our life turned towards him to receive what he's done, to receive the grace. It's right here. Remember First Timothy 1, verse 13 says, I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, a violent aggressor. Yet I was shown mercy because I acted ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was more than abundant with the faith and love which are found in Christ Jesus. With the faith and love. And yet for this reason I found mercy, in order that in me, as the foremost, Jesus Christ might demonstrate his perfect patience as an example for those who would believe in him for eternal life. He recognized all these things that happened, that his past actually could become a tool to reach out. Because if God will do it for me, he'll do it for you. If God will save me, the wretch that I was, if he will save me because I was persecuting the church, if he chooses to act in that much love towards me, how much would he do towards you? Something that I shared Wednesday night. I think it's important for us to get a picture. The nativity. We all just watched we all saw that during Christmas season. And it's, you know how cute it is, the little manger and the little baby Jesus. The manger and the baby Jesus. You got a couple sheep around. You got a couple cows looking over. The wise men are hanging out. It's all good. It's so clean. Except in the real world, it isn't clean. In a real barn, it's not clean. In that situation, it wasn't clean. The cow was over there drooling in Jesus' face. He was getting all in the way up in Mary's business. And it was because a cow is a curious animal. He just wants to know what is going on here. He was getting in the way while Joseph's trying to help with this delivery, while he's just over there getting in the way. What's going on? The sheep are over there making noise and doing what sheep do. And even as all this was happening, when cows eat, they drool, okay? And that's not all they do. All of it in the same place. There's no containing it, okay? The only way it's clean is if somebody comes and shovels it all out and puts new straw down. Here's what you need to know about that. Jesus came in the middle of all that filth as a baby because he wanted you. He wanted you. He did it for you. He came in the middle of all that filth because he wanted to save you. He wanted to have a relationship with you. He wanted to have a relationship with me. I know the things that I did. Fortunately, you don't know all the things I did. I'm kind of an open book, but not all of it has been shared yet. He wanted that relationship. He was willing to pay that price. If he wanted that so badly in that situation, how much more when you're actually trying to come to him, when you're trying to have a relationship with him, how much more is everything open to you because he's already decided he was accepting you. He made it evident. See, that's the grace. When we understand and we receive the grace, that's the thing that changes the whole picture. Hebrews 13 and 9 tells us it's good for our heart to be strengthened by grace rather than by foods. What he's talking about there is it's better for us to be strengthened by this grace that he offers than all the observances that they used to do to try to present themselves to God. The thing that is more important is for you to receive the grace that has allowed you to come and step into this relationship and this intimacy with a living God. That's what it's like. And he comes down and he ends this section here. 1 Timothy 1 is really, if you read all of it, it's really about just setting you up to understand what it is to have a clean conscience. And he says, verse 19, keeping faith and a good conscience, which some have rejected a separate shipwreck regarding their faith. See, it's important for us to keep that clean conscience. It's important for us to stand in the freedom that he gave us from every evil conscience. As we understand, that means that we can stand in the freedom from every religious string that would attach us. We can stand in freedom from everything that the enemy would try to stir our conscience against ourselves. So that we no longer have to stand in self-condemnation or condemnation of the enemy. We can stand in the fullness of our acknowledgement of who Christ is for us and through us. When we stand in the acknowledgement of who he is for us and through us, now then we are released into the destiny that he has called us to. Amen. Amen. Then where all the clap came from, that's amen. Because see, God has a purpose for each and every one of his saints. Each and every one of his saints. He has a purpose for each and every one of us. Jonathan, he has a purpose specifically for you. There are people that you can reach that no one else is going to reach. There are people you can touch. Why? Because he's put Christ in you and it's not going away. It's not going away, Steve. It's not going away. When you share as you walk around that store, it's not going away because the testimony of Jesus will be seen again and again and again. And you might be the one that gives a testimony that causes them to convert, or you might be the one who's given a testimony that's just a seed that will lay there for a little bit until somebody else causes it to come forward. But God is the one who is going to give the anointing. He's going to spread. He's going to just shower it and water it in the anointing until it comes and bears fruit. All of us have that privilege. The more closely we can walk with him. And this passage that I've been talking about, that's the whole reason that we, when we're washed into blood and we have no evil conscience, we can walk as closely with him as we want. I've been experiencing this, a resurgence in my heart, a resurgence of fire in my heart. Why? Because I'm realizing that anything that could have kept me back cannot keep me back anymore. He didn't call me to those things. He didn't call me to keep remembering those things and let those things keep me down. He called me to remember those things and said, that's just a testimony for Jesus. That's just a testimony that caused me to rise up, a testimony that caused me to come in. Why? Because God has given me full access to him. And when I'm in that place of full access with him, there is nothing that is being denied. Realizing how much, what a price he paid. Realizing how much he desires for us to have this relationship. Realizing that he already paved the way. See, that blood did had two testimonies. One is that it opened to heaven. The veil was rent. It's forever opened. And now, then the second testimony, that's corporate, and the second testimony is personal. It cleanses my heart. Because see, the corporate can be open, and I may never, ever take advantage of it. But as soon as it cleanses my heart, I'm free to take advantage of it. He wants us to step in with him. He wants us to step up with him. He wants us to, this is like he told me, to step up to the top step. He wants us to go through the ascension, and that ascension is going to happen by submission, but it's going to happen because we choose to let him be the one who makes the testimony. Hallelujah. Oh, I just want to pray for some folks if you want. I just want, and if because I'll be glad to just pray and just release some fire this morning. Because I don't know what all God is doing in this, but I know when he's making the change. And I'm going to celebrate the change even before I understand what it all is. I can tell you that even from the very roots of my feet, there are things that are residues that are being pulled out that had no place to be in there. You know, there are some things affect even, you know, sometimes we walk in, let me see how to say this. We walk in sickness in our body simply because we haven't allowed something to be removed in the spirit. I believe this is part of that process. God is wanting to set us free, even from those things that bring sickness to the body. Because it's as he pulls out these residues, as he pulls out whatever the issues are. I know where my issue was. Because that anger thing controlled everything about me. He wants to pull that out, even the residue of it. Even the residue of it. Because, see, there's no reason for me to let that affect anything else in my life. There's no reason for him to let it affect anything else in your life. The goal of his instruction, his commandment, his mandate is love. With a pure heart and a clear conscience and a solidness of faith. I love you. God bless you.